Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked a lot today about, should the 49ers try to do something? And here's where I'm going to start. Shanahan was asked about the aggressiveness of he and Lynch right now. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were being that aggressive. I mean, we're looking for things that make sense for our team right now and in the future. You know, not having Fred makes that harder. But it's, you know, I don't see a big difference between Sunday before that game started and today. Not at all. It definitely hurts losing a guy like Fred, but in terms of people who are available that can improve our team for this year and next year, I don't see the situation that much different.
So what stuck out to me there were two things. One is they don't feel like there's any more urgency now than there was 4 days ago. But the other thing was something you said yesterday, which is they're not really interested in a rental. It doesn't feel like.
I wouldn't do that. Now, like, the other thing is you're asking him at week six, and maybe 2 weeks from now they'll be 6-2.
Sure.
And then the calculus changes a little bit. But I would firmly, this is just me, I would push against the idea of moves that go all in on this year.
Yeah.
Even with a good record. I just think that that's poor management of an organization. And
what's the theme behind that? Your energy behind that thought, just about what you think they are personally?
Well, I think that they have arrived. They've been trying to tell us for all year, all offseason, and I think for the next couple of years, they're really pushing against this idea of, as Dibs would call it yesterday, F them picks.
Okay.
Like their drafts.
Yeah, I got you.
Their drafts are super important right now. And I'm going to argue or debate with anybody, and I've heard a bunch of them call you guys today with the whole, like, the Niners suck at the draft, so who cares? Let's take, like, that's not where they are in their evolution. I'm not a window is closed guy, but in their evolution, they're at a spot where they need to start bringing in some inexpensive, talented players to replace guys who are getting older. Yeah. So I'm not saying you can't give up a pick or two or whatever, but I wouldn't be flippant about that at all.
I mean, where I am now this morning, looking at what Richard Sherman said on his podcast about the offensive line, which is the interior is really, really bad. And we're going to play it during our show. And it's really the center. He didn't want to call out the center, Brindle.
He put up a video of Brindle not blocking for McCaffrey.
Right. And Dominic Pooney is having a bad year. And Connor Colby's a rookie who is not doing great. Your tackles are doing fine. We can look at Trent and look at, you know, plays where he's missing. That happens. And actually, McKivitz quietly has had a good year over there at right tackle. But your interior has been so bad that you can't run the ball. So, yeah, you go out there and you trade for a pass rusher. Well, you still can't run the ball. Absolutely. And you trade for a linebacker. You still can't run the ball. And you can't trade for a center who's really good because the really good centers are on really good teams. And those guys don't become available.
Don't
so if you want to talk about, like, draft capital, then, yeah, this past year they spent their top five picks on defense. How about this year?
No doubt.
You spend your top five picks on the offensive line.
I totally agree.
Because that's where you have the biggest need.
Yeah.
So,
no doubt.
But that's not until March.
Yeah, right.
So in the meantime, you're going to have to just eat it.
And what you guys – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know if it's eat it. Like, to me, and this is what you and I were debating yesterday, Dibs, I really think that this is a middle ground trade deadline. And some people, like, you know, people don't like it, you know, Farhan moves on the margins, things like that. But I think that you owe it to a team with a good record to help them, but you owe it to your organization to not pants yourself to go after a Super Bowl with multiple stars no longer
look yourself
the team.
In the mirror for real.
You got to also be right. You have to run your organization,
yeah.
And it would be stupid for them to mortgage the future at a time where they have just put $265 million that's going to kick in next year into a quarterback and mortgage everything that they need to build around him going forward to chase this year because you've snuck out with some close wins.
Now, I watched both. I almost got jumped here. You guys missed this from the callers and Steiny, and these words didn't come out of my mouth. I told the story. So I was with some diehard, what I deem diehard Niner fans, watching both games yesterday, and they were distraught. It was everything you talked about when you asked me how did you feel, you know, from a fan standpoint with Fred Warner. And they were saying, and I said it to air, that they almost, if to get a ninth pick in the draft as opposed to the 23rd pick, they were like, we're going nowhere this year. If we make the playoffs, we're bounced in the first round. I'm just watching this ping pong of it, and I go, oh, my God, you know, I'm Mr. Playoff or Die. So we had Flea call me, jump me as if I said it. Another caller from Vallejo say, he's a Niner fan from 1981. If you could get to the playoffs and the experience for the defense, and I agree with all that, but Steiny was incredulous about there's no Niner fan that looks at it like, I said, well, we did that when the Giants all these past years. Was it really? They're not going to win the World Series. Is it worth it to make it retool, rebuild? But I almost needed security, and I had to say, Dibs, like I'm saying now, Wither, I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what some Niner fans said in front of him while I was there.
I never understand it. I never do, and I get it that that's sort of the way I fan, and everybody gets a fan
play
the way
off or
I
die.
Never understand the kick the season guy. What a weird, like, what are y'all doing
Stoddy
here?
Stoddy said they're not fans.
If you want to kick the season, then go on vacation. Warriors start next week. You watch something else if you want.
They play tonight.
No one's making you watch the games. I'm not going to kick the next 3 months of my sports life at 4-2 because you've decided that something that could happen can't happen. Like Dibs and I talked about this last week. The whole thing that makes sports special is the thing that we don't think is going to happen happens.
Baker Mayfield on line one.
Steph Curry's entire career.
Wow.
Again,
Brock Purdy.
I'm not saying you mortgage yourself.
I got it
in that effort, but don't leave.
Yeah,
don't go on vacation. Yeah. Like, let's do this. Let's see what happens next.
Yeah, to me, it's. I don't know if it's simple, but I think it's straightforward. You're 4-2 now. The trade deadline's after the next three games. So you got three games before the deadline. You'll have 9 games there. So, or let's just say 8, it gives you a week or so. I mean, you may be 4-4 at that point and think, you know what, we see where this is going. All right, well, that'll lead you in one direction. What if you're 6-2? Well, then maybe you do want to get some reinforcements in here because now you're knocking, you know, now you're close to 10 wins in a playoff spot maybe.
I don't see the 49ers in any way, shape, or form, even if they were to lose the next 3 in a row, selling. Because I don't even know who would.
I got you.
Well, how do you sell?
What are you going to get back?
I had that same question.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I had that same question, too. Like, what does that look like?
You know what I mean? Like, the only person that pops to mind that the Niners would be like, this is a proven player who, in theory, you could have is Brandon Ayuk. And that's not going to happen because, A, he makes too much money, and, B, I don't think we're even going to see him play before the trade deadline.
Oh, that's,
you know what I mean?
There was a false story about him yesterday. I was like, oh, what's he mad? And he wasn't even mad.
That
was
weird, didn't it? Someone said he never read, by the way, for people who don't know, this was like the story got generated that he unfollowed the 49ers on Instagram. And I don't think he follows the Niners on Instagram, but I guess I heard, and I don't know, but I heard he never refollowed them from when he unfollowed them last summer. I don't know if I don't know that he was ever following them. And
he's not mad. He's trying to get back.
He's got a link under his name to his 49er page on the website. That's still there. So that counts.
I mean,
like what?
In a way, he's on the Niners. Yes. He knows what's going on. Yes. He doesn't really need to follow
to get
him.
Back.
No, that's a good point. He's like,
he's in the know.
I don't need to see your pictures. Yeah. I'm here.
Right.
I'm here. I'm in the locker room right now. I don't know. Whatever. But
I mean, he's there, but is he there, and when will he be there? And meanwhile, you've got Juwan Jennings playing with 5 broken ribs.
What did you make of him letting us know that?
you don't talk about it. Like, you don't talk about it. And that's just the code. Whatever. I come in here with a flat tire and I do 7 minutes on it. And that's because that's what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm a sports talk radio host who got a flat tire, and I've done, you know, more time on that than I probably should have, but it's what we do. It's content, and we're all like normal people. But when you're a football player, you're a gladiator, and you have 5 broken ribs, you don't talk about it. Like
anything to do with, I'm watching a guy just picked up off the street, Kendrick Bourne, for the second week in a row, get umpteen catches and umpteen
yards. That's what I said to Mark. Like, if I was
human,
if I was going to put myself into that, it was not about Kendrick Bourne, it was about DeMarcus Robinson. So DeMarcus Robinson, and actually you guys talked about this earlier. Yes, but and you guys talked about, oh, you didn't see it on the broadcast. You actually saw it on the broadcast. You saw a quick glimpse of it on the broadcast where D-Rob goes out and he has a drop, and then they cut to Shanahan, and you can see Shanahan turn to Jennings and pull the mic down, and he starts to,
bark.
Yeah. And then the camera cuts back to the next play, and the next play is DeMarcus Robinson goes for, I think, 31 yards. And, you know, the argument continued with Juwan and Shanahan, but you can actually see a little bit of it on the broadcast. And then whatever happens, happens. And they go in the locker room and they come out, and the first play from scrimmage, Juwan Jennings, false start on that first snap after he was hot for whatever reason. And I bet it was not because, hey, Kyle, my ribs really hurt. It was more like, Kyle, like, why am I not out there? It's a 2-minute drill. I've got no targets yet. Throw me the ball. I could drop he does.
We talked about the divas, right?
I don't know the specifics of it, but to me, you can't convince me that he's not feeling sorry for himself. That's why you say, I have 5 broken ribs and a shoulder and, you know, a knee and all the things that he's got. You say that. This is after, again, what do we know? We know that he was ticked all offseason. We know that there was some sort of an embellishment of a calf injury. We know that he missed camp. We know that he's now playing hurt. We know that he's not getting targets. We know that people off the street now have 300 yards the last 2 weeks.
There we go, man.
And he's yelling at Kyle Shanahan on the sideline, and then he's telling reporters the thing that players never tell reporters.
Donnie said.
That all adds up to he's feeling sorry for himself.
Yeah. And what did you say yesterday? You weren't, you know, no fault of your own. You weren't at practice catching balls from anybody.
When were you going to build rapport with Mac Jones? He has rapport with Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah.
There was only one time to do that. It was during camp. You skipped it.
Can this offense get to 30? Or more if they need to for this team to be successful? If you expect maybe just a tick back from the D, can they up it? And am I living in la-la land thinking the run game is going to be better when Kittle comes back Sunday night?
No, if he comes back, I think it will be. But the answer to can they ever score 30 is if their offensive line plays better. And if that's Kittle, then that's Kittle. But that's
you're running out of ifs, though,
right? That's how you score points.
Mm-hmm.
You get great play from the offensive line.
Oh, nice. Jackson, you got Donnie, is that new?
It's not raining anymore.
PwC.
No.
Price Waterhouse, but I don't know what the C is.
That's
now.
Not sharp.
Clearing.
Mm. Yeah.
A little sweat. Good. Hey, you all bundled up.
Yeah, look at him. Oh, man.
It's chilly. Yeah, but it's not raining anymore.
Is it a little chilly?
It's chilly.
Okay.
It's got a little.
The sun's out.
All right. Sun's out, guns out. Hey, what do you got coming up? Any guess?
It's Fat Tuesday.
Cosell?
Didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's Wednesday, Scoop.
Cosell's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Fat Tuesday. The Niners have a problem with an offensive line. We're going to have offensive linemen on.
Randy Cross.
Schlereth at 3, Feliciano at 5, Fat Tuesday.
This Feliciano guy is taking off.
And
his
daughter.
Have you noticed?
Well, I would be on YouTube to watch him because
that's the best part.
Because some people call him Large Spadoni. They call him Large Spadoni. And if you're on YouTube, you will hear the two or 3 or 4 times that he cusses, which will happen. But if you're listening on radio, Grandy's going to dump that.
Big day from Grandy.
But if you're on YouTube, you can hear the potty mouth from Tennessee.
Grandy's in there.
All right, gents. Well, have a good one and have it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Our theme the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Here we go, Tuesday. Fat Tuesday. And don't tell them that I said that.
Man, I thought it was actually Fat Tuesday.
It's not actually Fat Tuesday. But I'm trying to do whatever I can to make Tuesday fun, because you know that we think that Tuesday
stinks.
It's the worst day of the week, but your tires all stayed on today.
Yeah, so far.
So it's doing better than Monday.
Well, I got a loaner. My car's in the shop again.
Does it have four tires?
Yep.
Did it work?
Yeah.
You're here?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's ride.
On BART. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but YouTube people, don't tell them that I said it's Fat Tuesday.
And you called him fat.
I called the day fat. P-H-A-T if you want.
There you go.
We could do that.
But there's an actual Fat Tuesday.
I know.
I don't think that's today. I don't know when that is.
It's Mardi Gras, right? It's like right before Mardi Gras or something.
No, it's before Mardi Gras, but I don't know when Mardi Gras is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I think that it's always. Like, it happens,
yeah,
but if you
there.
Go to New Orleans, it's just happening. At all times. I've never been to New Orleans.
You've never been to New Orleans?
No, it's one of the two.
Oh, my goodness.
It's one of the two major American cities that I, like, really want to go to.
That in Boston?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And I was supposed to go to New Orleans, and then them silly Orange Bowl people. Did you know that there's, like, and I know the bowl games are all different now, but there's, like, a draft. There's an at-large draft for those BCS, what they used to call the BCS Bowls.
Right.
And one year when I was working at USC, they had their flights, their hotels, everything was all set. They're like, we're going to the Sugar Bowl. And it was one of the Carson Palmer years or whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I've never been to New Orleans before. And then out of nowhere, that draft thing happens and the Orange Bowl people with the Blazers shocked everybody. And they drafted USC to come play Iowa. And we went to South Beach instead. Which was also great.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, it was also great. Yep. But I've still never been to New Orleans.
February is Mardi Gras.
Oh, exciting.
So
it's coming
soon.
You got
that coming up, yeah. It's actually the Tuesday. Fat Tuesday is the Tuesday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like 2 days after the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And don't we have... Do we have Monday? Did they do it this year? Is it right leading up to President's Weekend?
No, actually, then this would be, I guess, 10 days after, because President's Day, I think, is the Monday, and then Fat Tuesday is the next day.
No, that's what I'm saying. Did people, okay, so you're saying the Super Bowl is not up against that this year?
No, I don't think so.
Because I thought this year was the year they finally did get the Super Bowl. Is the Super Bowl on the 8th or the 15th? Granny, were you looking
that
up?
It's on the 8th. Yep, the 8th.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So Fat Tuesday is
nine days
later.
Next year. It's next year. It's in 2027. I heard. Okay. Did you hear about this? We're off on such a tangent, but this is
so
fun.
Many. Yep.
This is fun. Just everybody put this in your hip pocket, hippity hop to the hip, because you're going to need to know this now. Not this season, but next season. The 2027 Super Bowl is on President's Day weekend. So we have the day off after the Super Bowl. Here's the problem. Want to know what date the Super Bowl is actually on?
I'm just looking at it right now. Yep.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes way. Good luck, men. It's on February 14th. Have a day. Honey, what do you want to do tonight? How about if you have all my friends over so we can get done? Yeah.
Dude,
happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. Don't get me started on Valentine's
Day.
No,
I won't.
You'd be wrong.
I won't. But anyway.
Valentine's Day can be moved. The Super Bowl cannot.
It's going to be.
You're not going to record the Super Bowl because it's Valentine's Day.
No, next year, the February 15th is Valentine's Day.
Wrong.
Or 13th.
That's my half birthday.
Oh, God. How many of those do you have?
Just shut one. Up.
Feels like they're always a month away.
It's February 15th every
all right.
year.
All right, let's get back. Let's Come put the on. Train back on the track.
Let's try.
Well, here's what I would love.
What?
Can we? I want to dip my toe in the water on this, and we would really love, until Schlereth's going to be here at 3. Until then and after that, we'd love to hear from you and give us a quick answer, and then you can support your take. Are the 49ers still in the window? Is the window open or closed? And there's a bunch of reasons why we're asking, and we'll get to all of the things, the offensive line investment and the trade deadline and all of the things that will matter here. But what I keep hearing a lot of people say when they either call this station or engage on social media and they're talking about whether or not the Niners should do this, that, or the other at the deadline, the person that often does not want them to do anything at the deadline is like, the window's closed. The window is closed. And I know what you mean by that. I think that if that's your take, you mean Trent is getting old, Christian is getting older, George is getting older, and Fred and Nick are now in the midst of major, major injury. And if you view that as your core, and I think you should, I get people saying the window is closed. I don't look at it that way. I feel like Kyle Shanahan and the Niners don't believe in the window. In other words, football is not like the NBA, where when Steph Curry retires, all right, got to start over now. Football, you can do things on the fly. You can, here we go, two timelines. I don't think it's two timelines. There's always just a timeline. But there are years, like now, where you have to start hitting on draft picks and bring in new young talent and have them replace guys who are going to be on their way out. But that's not a total rebuild, and I would never call the window closed for any organization that likes its quarterback. If you like your quarterback and you want to pay your quarterback, then you're in the middle of trying to win. So that's how I would answer it. But 888-957-9570, how would you answer that when someone says, is the 49ers window opened, closed, or you can throw a third answer in there of closing, or, I don't know, N/A, like you can do whatever. How would you answer it? Is the window open or is it closed?
Like, what's the window? Is the window this year?
Yeah, right. Like, just here we are. It's what is it? It's October 14th. Yeah. Is the window open?
For the Super Bowl, no. Yeah. The window's closed.
It is.
If you can, like, fancy yourself as a playoff team, yeah, the window's open for that. But for you to make the playoffs and, like, really go through and win and beat all these other good teams, I don't think you can do that now. So the window, for me, is more about, like, next year. And so next year, can Bosa come back and be healthy and good enough? I don't know if he can. Kittle's going to be 32, and he's starting to wind down, and McCaffrey's getting to where he's starting to wind down, and Fred Warner will be coming off a major ankle surgery. He can be back, and he can be as good as he can be. Your quarterback's going to make $53 million. So for this year, right now, I don't think that your window is open. I don't know if it's totally ironclad, closed, shut, but I look at what they have right now and take Nick out and take Fred out. What you have right now is an offensive line that's not very good. You have a defense that's super young without its two best players. And you've got a quarterback who, when he comes back, is going to still be trying to work through a major toe injury.
So I don't know that, like, I think those are all fair answers. I don't know that when we talk about in sports the window, a championship window, it's ever whittled down to 1 year. When I say we're talking about now, I just mean like, that, like,
sure.
answer from
sure.
the perspective of here we are now. But the window is a larger thing than any 1 year. So, like, it, in other words, because, in fact, someone just hit us on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line, 925, thank you for listening and texting in, says the Niners are in a complete rebuild after the slew of injuries this year, or else this will be Warriors 2.0. I totally get the sentiment, just my way of thinking. I don't think the word rebuild exists in the NFL unless there's one caveat to
right.
that, and you know exactly what it is.
Yeah, new We're coach, totally, new GM, new
and
quarterback.
New quarterback.
Yep,
We're rebooting.
Yep,
like
agreed.
The New York Giants are in a rebuild, and it looks like they might have found their dude.
Maybe.
And now you build around that guy. But that's why that's how I've in recent times, since the Niners' appearance in the Super Bowl, when people go, oh, that was their chance, the window's closed, I go, no. Like, you have a quarterback. You have a quarterback, you have a coach, you have a GM, and you paid that quarterback. That just means they need to do a really good job of filling out the roster around that person. And we can have a healthy conversation as to whether or not they've done that to this point.
Sure.
I know a lot of people, you're like, oh, they're terrible at the draft. It's like, they're not terrible at the draft. Last year's draft looks like it was pretty good. This year's draft, I don't know. Like, it's intriguing at least
at
this point.
Yeah, it's all right. You know? I mean,
but like, that's their job. That, to me, is not a rebuild.
No, it's a retool is what it is.
That's just NFLing. That's like on a yearly basis. Right. We try to build the roster again.
But if you look at like the future, if they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, and I don't think that you believe they are, I certainly don't think that they will, and the odds will tell you that they are not a great candidate to do so. So you look at next year, and your left tackle is going to be 38, and he needs to be replaced, and your pass rusher is coming off another ACL, and I don't know how good he'll be, and your tight end, who's a real difference maker, we don't even know how good he'll be when he comes back this year.
Yeah.
Your running back's getting older, and so when you look at all these other key pieces on your team, even your fullback that you use more than any other team, he is quietly getting older.
Absolutely.
So as you start to think about not a rebuild but a retool, you've got about 6 or 7 or 8 different players who you need to replace over the course of the next year or two while your quarterback is now, you know, growing into being a franchise guy.
No doubt, but I'll remind everybody how quickly those kinds of things can happen in the NFL. The last time the 49ers had a left tackle who they loved and needed to replace, they did it overnight. Joe Staley was leaving.
Yeah, but that was incredibly unique.
Yes, it was, but these things can happen.
They can.
Like, a lot of the great players, like Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey, were both like, overnight, boom, you're on the team, let's ride. And now all of a sudden, you're going for it. And if the Niners are moving salary around with the way they're kind of behaving right now, does that make them open to be able to be a team that again takes advantage of situations like that down the road? Maybe. I don't see that as impossible. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Austin and James, you'll be first up, but let's get this conversation going right now. We'll take your calls. How do you see the window for the Niners? Open, closed, or do you want to throw a different answer in there? That's fine, too. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. This Sunday kickoff show, Low Neil, Evan Giddings, live Laughing Monk, Sunnyvale, starting at 3 o'clock. All the early games, late games, too. Beer garden with a DJ, bartenders serving up Gold Bar whiskey specials. And if you're going to the game, you can sign up for that free shuttle, which is a great idea, but it's going fast. First come, first serve. The Eventbrite page on our website is where you go to sign up. 957thegame.com. Sign up now. We're also sponsored by Moderna, and it's Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think that, you know, it's a great question and a hard question to answer.
On 95.7 The Game.
Fat Tuesday. Don't tell anyone I said it. I'll deny it. But yeah. The Niners have offensive line problems, so we're bringing in the offensive line.
Well, and maybe a couple of these guys could come in and help. I know one of them who might be close enough to where...
I think he'd like to.
Mungo. I don't know if he would like to, but I think he's available too.
Oh, he would like to. Yeah. Shut up!
Well,
yeah.
Shut up!
That's our guy.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman in his podcast talks about the interior offensive line and how they're kind of messing it up. Like, if they were not so bad, and I'm paraphrasing, but they're the problem right now.
Well, here, you want to hear it?
I do want to hear it. I've heard it twice, but I want to hear it again.
This is from the Richard Sherman podcast on the Niners O-line.
The interior offensive line was the issue late in the game. And I knew that would be the Achilles heel for this team, but it's not just on the passing plays, not just from the pass protection standpoint. It's ridiculous on plays that are set up successfully. You got guys in space. All you got to do is block your guy. Block your guy, get in the way, Christian McCaffrey, let him do his work. And you can't even do that. And that's where it's starting to become devastating to this offense because you can draw up the perfect play. But if you have guys that are incompetent unable to get the job done, unable to block people, unable to block linebackers, then you can't run these plays. And you should be able to expect your center and your guards to be able to get out in space and get up on a, you know, Levante David is an incredible player, all pro bowl, you know, big time guy, been playing for a long time. I got a ton of respect for him, but you should be able to at least be able to get in his way. He shouldn't be able to shock shed and tackle Christian McCaffrey right where they were. And I think that's happened throughout the season on plays that are drawn up well. And we're looking at the center, get up on guys, and just whiff.
Woo. I mean, he called them incompetent.
You shouldn't be able to shock shed. Like,
you got to be real careful when you say that fast, yeah, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, Grady's already ready for John Feliciano coming practicing up in five. But the defensive linemen come up.
Don't test me.
They shock you. They shock shed. They shock you. They put hands on you. And now you go back. And then they get hands on you again. And they shed you. And now you're in the hole. And here comes McCaffrey hoping that up. You know, hopefully my guard and my center were able to not get shock shed. And hopefully they were able to get to the second level. And if you move, like, Vita Vea is a big guy. Shout out Milpitas High School. But if you can move him a little bit over, and then you have a run going up the middle, then McCaffrey can at least get through that line and get to the second level, make a linebacker miss, or you get a guard out there to make a block, and now you've got an explosive. And I'm looking at all the run plays that McCaffrey had, and most of them were, like he's talking about, shock shed. Like, the Bucs were able to shock your line, shed your block, and then now McCaffrey's running into a sea of, should be creamsicle, but it wasn't.
It's a big word. Incompetent. That's
Yep.
It's one thing to struggle, have a hard time with execution. Incompetent? Like, if you're working in a company and someone at a high level decides you're incompetent, you get fired. Like, that's how that works. Sherman was like, I don't mean to call out one guy, but let me go ahead and call out one guy.
People looking at PFF grades and things like that, and I hate to harp on one guy, but it's been incredibly debilitating to this offense consistently. And there are plays that are drawn up for bigger gains that you can't get because one guy, you know, throws a fly in a soup. And that's stuff that they're going to have to address this offseason, no question about it. If they go again, like I said last year, if they go again with this same lineup, they're costing their team and they're leaving guys out to dry. And they're wasting Christian McCaffrey's years because he's making plays that could go the distance, could be bigger gains. But it's one guy every time that's throwing a fly in the soup. So that's something I'm sure Kyle Shanahan has addressed and will continue to address. They don't have an answer in-house right now. Maybe they try to address it at the trade deadline. But again, that's not a position you really bring somebody in and change things.
Now, he never says it, but he's talking about Jake Brendel. Is that correct, Grady?
I assume. Yeah.
He's talking about the center, Jake Brendel.
Yeah. I mean, one guy. And a lot of times on any given play, it's one different guy. And if you want to look at the PFF grades, and he's talking about PFF grades and whatever, he doesn't really give that much credence to it, and he's right to not do that. But if you look at the PFF grades for the season for their five offensive linemen, Trent is mostly good, and McKivitz is mostly good, and then your center and your two guards are mostly bad. And I know Connor Colby's a rookie. Dominic Pooney's the one that's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. And you watch that game on Sunday, and he had a couple of whiffs. He had a false start, a critical false start on a fourth and one. And then the center, Jake Brendel, if you can't control that middle of the line, the A-gap, as we like to call it, the two A-gaps, if you're getting A-gap, a lack of control, then you've got no chance to do anything.
No quarterback can handle pressure straight up the middle. No quarterback. I mean, unless you want to just have somebody scrambling for their life all the time. Like, sure, Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels can handle that better than most, but that's the pressure from the edge. You can roll out, you can step up in the pocket, you can do some things. If that pressure's coming straight up the middle, especially if you're Mac Jones with an injured leg, you're dead. You're dead, and you're going to get sacked more than five times in a game, which is exactly what happened. Let's go to Austin in Redwood City. Hey, Austin, thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, not much. Just chilling, listening to you guys.
Sweet, man. Thanks. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah. So the window from the Super Bowl is still open. Last time I checked, 4-2, not 2-4. So that window was still open. But to address the defensive line and the offensive line, man, hey, there's some things we got to move on from. Next season, we got, hey, we can't, hey, this might be Bosa's last season with us. He may not play next year. The following year for us, we got to make some type of trades. It's a rebuilding defense, basically. We got rid of Hufanga. We got rid of Greenlaw. We got rid of Armstead. It's about time. The window's closed. We got rid of Debo. The window is getting there. But as far as this season, the window's still open because we're 4-2.
Interesting, Austin. Thanks. Go ahead. You had more?
And one more. Not only that, Kiffin Cassidy, he doing his thing. But at the end of the day, man, you got to hold him back from himself. You know, we got to give Robinson some touches, give some Robinson touches like they did Mason's. Where's Mason's touches at? Give that to Robinson so we can, you know, the door hold up for Kiffin McCaffrey for the rest of the season.
Austin, thanks. Yeah, the touch thing with Christian, I don't know, man. I'm done with it. I get where everyone's coming from. You're not wrong. I hear you. I don't know what everybody is supposed to do about it. You want to bring in a worse player to execute important plays? Brian Robinson is not Christian McCaffrey. He's not even Jordan Mason.
Not even to, execute important plays, but to execute any plays. And you know what? I'm done with it. I live with a 3-year-old, and I do breakfast every morning. And if you don't want to eat, don't eat. You want to be hungry? Be hungry, and I'm going to take you to school, and if you want to throw yourself on the carpet at 10:15, that's going to be on you and sadly on them, and they get paid to deal with you, but you're not doing it. And so with Brian Robinson Jr., I want him to get more touches. They don't want him to get more touches, and they don't want him to eat his breakfast, so you know what? I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Give McCaffrey the ball every single time.
I look at it a little bit differently. I don't think that coaches in the league go into games the way we do. I don't think that they go, all right, we got to keep Christian under 20 touches, so let's sub in Brian here and here and here. The game evolves as you're playing it. You don't know if you're going to be down 7-0, 14-0. You don't know if you're going to be up 7-0, 14-0. Do you want to know why the 49ers keep putting McCaffrey in the game? They want a first down. They want a first down. That is how, in the moment, I believe the thought process to be. They want a first down. And if there's somebody that gives them a way better chance at a first down than someone else, that person goes in the game if he's healthy enough to do so. Is that going to wear him out? It might. I think it's somewhat funny, though, that we're gonna worry about Christian wearing down and getting hurt in the face of all of these other players getting hurt who, in some cases, are younger than Christian, and they're not experiencing the reps that Christian is experiencing. I don't know if any of you have looked at your fantasy roster lately. Everybody's hurt. Everybody is getting hurt. You just played a team that is, by the way, Ibuka, multiple games.
Yep.
Multiple games. Bucky Irving, not coming back yet next week.
Yep. Evans, Godwin.
Godwin.
Yep.
All out.
And I told you, keep your eyes on Cade Otton. And he had a nice game, 5 catches.
Yeah, yeah.
He had
a nice game.
He was more impactful than Jake Tonjes.
Yes, he was.
More impactful than Luke Farrell.
Well, the Bucs offense was more impactful than the 49ers offense.
I mean, not really. If you look at the time of possession, Niners. Overall yardage, Niners.
Yeah, time of possession does nothing for me when you huck the ball over everybody's head and get a touchdown in 2 seconds.
Well, I mean, Niners had explosives as well.
Not as explosive.
The game offensively was pretty balanced. It was pretty even, but the Niners had 2 turnovers, and that was the ball game. The thing about Brian Robinson Jr., he had 5 snaps. 5.
Yep.
And that is where, you trade for a guy, you trade a 6-round pick, which is not a lot, but it's a pick. It's draft capital, and he gets 5 snaps. Can we not come up with something where they can be out there together?
Where
you can have 2 running backs on the field at the same time, and you can scheme it up a little bit differently? I don't know.
Look,
that to me is where I get frustrated.
Well, but here's where this is how I would answer it. I've got to give the Niners, and maybe you could just say, well, then it was a bad move, and I'd hear you, but I got to give the Niners some room for, you know what? maybe he's not as good as they thought he was. Like, does he look good to you when he's on the field?
He doesn't get a chance to play.
No, but he does, like, here's like, the evidence.
Yeah, he looks all right.
He looks, yeah, very mid, right? Like, whatever.
I mean, is he as good as, I don't know, Jake Tonjes catching the ball?
It's a totally different position.
Right, but like, you put Juszczyk out at tight end, and you've got Brian Robinson for 5 snaps. How is he supposed to show you what he exactly is?
Again, this is the same thing that we talk about all the time when people want to see draft picks. It's like, we haven't had a chance to see him. They do. They're with them every single day. I think the evidence is everywhere with the other running backs behind Christian. They're disappointed. Isaac Garendo can't get on the field, and now they won't even let him return kicks. And did you notice who they subbed in to return kicks?
Yeah, Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson. Yep. And they don't stick you in to return kicks if they're worried about your health and being involved in the every down offense. That's not where they put you because it's super dangerous and physical and violent. So, like, this is just me. I haven't heard this, but I'm looking at their behavior. I don't think they're very impressed with Brian Robinson. And so they're trying to get first downs. And they like Christian's chances to do that.
Of course.
A lot better than Brian's.
So Christian plays 64 snaps, and he wound up with, what, 24, I think,
whatever
touches overall.
Sure.
And so, yeah, he had 17 rushes. He had 7 catches. So, actually, 8 targets, 25 of his 64. He got the ball his way, thrown or carried. And when Brian Robinson's out there, he had 5 plays. So, like, can you put him out there for more? Can you give him more? Instead, what you have is you've got DeMarcus Robinson for a handful. You've got Juwan Jennings, who's mad. You've got Jake Tonjes, who wasn't targeted. I'm just looking at what they're doing offensively. And it's, yeah, it's all Christian, and I get that. But maybe you want to try to, I don't know, mix it up a little bit.
I mean, if you want 2nd and 8 instead of 2nd and 6, again, that...
Christian, you're getting 2nd and 8.
Okay, then maybe you get 2nd and 10. Like, I'm just going based on what I think they think. It doesn't look like... You're right. His numbers are going down, not up, as he gets to know the offense better.
Well, it's because he's not getting chances, and they're not always right.
No.
You put Sky Moore out there to return kicks, and how's that working out for you? Are they right about that?
I think you're misunderstanding what I said about his numbers are going down. His snap total is going down.
And his numbers are also going down.
Right.
You're right.
The snap total is going down
right, as
he gets to know the offense better. That tells me they're not very impressed with him.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is you went out and traded for him.
I understand
that. And now you don't believe in him. And you drafted Isaac Garendo, and he is healthy as a daisy, and yet you don't believe in him. So
there's your argument.
Maybe the problem is you.
Yes, you made bad moves.
Debo Samuel on a Monday night is looking spry, and he looks great, and yet you got rid of him. And so, like, personnel-wise, you brought in Brian Robinson, and you don't trust him. You brought in Sky Moore, and God, please stop letting him return kicks. You drafted Isaac Garendo,
and he can't
play.
Right.
So
they're bad moves.
These are bad moves.
But you don't want them to try to justify the moves by putting them on the field more if they're not playing well, do you?
I don't know if they're playing well because I don't get to see them.
But they
don't think that they're playing well.
They're in practice every day, and they don't like what they're seeing.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And
again, I don't know. That's not a report. That's my judgment based on what I'm seeing them do.
I'm no expert, and they're football experts, and I'm not. And you've got Juwan Jennings, who is yelling at the coach, and he played in 77% of the snaps, and he got, 3 targets in the game?
Yeah.
And so,
that's not on Kyle. That's on, that's on the function of the offense and Juwan and Mac. Like, it's clear Mac is looking for Kendrick.
Right.
You're looking for him.
It's on all of them.
Yeah.
It's on all of them. And they're all frustrated. You don't have George. You don't have Ayuk. You don't have a lot of guys that you'd like to have. I get that. But what you do have, I don't think that you are deploying in the right way.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't think they're loving what they're getting when he is out there. Nick in Berkeley is next up. Y'all see the window as open, closed, or other? Hey, Nick, thank you for calling Willie and Dibby. What you got?
Man, the window's open, but the screen is torn. You feel me? It's like, it's like this, man. Like, and what we're talking about is attributes, man. Attributes of players that fit in certain systems. And so, why did we get rid of, that previous caller? He said he listed 3 players that we got rid of. And this ain't on Shan, but it's an organizational thing, man. Like, we got rid of Delanie Walker right in his prime. He rolls out 8 Pro Bowls in a row. Like, why would we do that? He's the leading catcher on the leading receiver on the team, and he played multiple.
Well, that was a completely different Nick, breathe. That was a completely different regime. But okay, go ahead. Delanie Walker, that was a long time ago.
I know. So, but
okay.
Right now, currently, I'm just like, why did we get rid of Mason? And this is what I was trying to compare it to, because like, we should have kept Mason and Greenlaw. Well, you can't expect players not to get hurt. But like, what, you know, like, you got five players around, and why are we not drafting the best player on the board every time? We get like, we get these random picks of these guys, and everyone's scratching their head like, what? And there's like some other lineman or some other special teams guy, potentially some athlete on the board, and we just got like with the Jaguars, man. They just out physical us. Like, they just out. They had more.
Well, Nick, I think they're trying. Like, all Nick, thank you. I think all teams are trying to pick the right guy, and it's a hell of a math problem. And you have your positional need. You have the best guy available. The draft is a crapshoot. I still forever. I'm going to laugh every time someone thinks the 49ers are just awful at the draft. That just means that you're not looking at what other teams do in the draft. Everybody has hits and misses. Is their batting average higher or lower than others? I don't know. Have to do a super, super deep dive.
Deep dive, yeah.
I think that they've got a lot of homegrown players they like, and so they get credit for that. Do they have some high-profile misses? You damn well better believe they do. On and on and on. By the way, how many Pro Bowls did Delanie Walker have after he left?
Three.
Three, okay.
Three in a row.
Not eight in a row.
Three in a row. Three in a row. But
that's fine.
And you can't keep every good player, and you and I were talking yesterday about Aaron Banks, who... Yeah, you could have kept Aaron Banks, and man, it'd be nice to have a guard like that here, although he's been hurt this year, but the contract he got, you didn't want to pay. You had Dominic Pooney on a rookie deal, and you thought, man, Dominic as a rookie, boy, we like the way this is trending, and Dominic Pooney's having a bad year, and I'm going to ask John Feliciano at 5 o'clock today, former Niner offensive lineman, about do linemen have slumps, because... He looks to me like he is slumping.
Shut up!
That's probably going to be his answer.
Whether or not he's hurt, if you're hurt, it doesn't mean that you have to fall start on fourth and one.
No, it doesn't.
That to me is mental.
It doesn't.
Not physical, John.
I mean, don't forget Jalen Moore, who, by the way, didn't even win a starting job with the Chiefs, but he started on Sunday night. Did you see him? Ooh, he was giving Aiden Hutchinson fits.
He was.
He played great.
Yep.
He played great, so don't forget that one either. But again,
you know why he didn't start for the Chiefs this year?
Well, the Chiefs guy told us he didn't win the job.
Yeah, because they drafted a rookie in the first round, and he won the job.
Yeah.
Crazy how that works.
Look, if you want to make a point about the offensive line, the lack of going after talent in the draft is, at minimum, a head-scratcher. I know what the Niners' position has been in the past, which is we're not going to force a pick into the wrong spot. We're not going to take a third round grade in the first round just because you want an offensive lineman. This was supposed to be a great D-line draft. They got a bunch of guys. Early returns, I'd say, are more positive than negative. But yes, I would love to see them invest a little bit more in the draft in the offensive line. Although, kind of an interesting graphic that came out yesterday that Grandy sent us, which is a graph of all of the teams in the NFL and how much draft capital percentage they put toward the offensive line. And you get a very mixed bag signal. The Niners are second to the bottom. In other words, only one team has invested even less than the 49ers. But of the top four teams, the four teams that have invested the least, three of them are the Bills, Broncos, and Niners. Pretty good organizations. And the one that's invested the most is the New Orleans Saints. Pretty bad organization. Now,
it depends on what the timeline is based on when you invested in
completely.
That.
Completely.
Because the Eagles have invested a lot in it, but they've done it a while ago.
Actually, well, I guess. Like, the graphic would actually say otherwise. The Eagles are kind of middle of the pack in the NFL in terms of what they've invested in the O-line. But one of the teams that's invested a ton in the O-line is the Chargers. And then they lost two offensive linemen to major injury this year. And that crushes you. So you get a mixed bag there, but I think it's a fair question.
It depends on like where you draw the line, because I'm looking at the Eagles' depth chart, and they drafted Lane Johnson in 2013 in the first round, and he's still there. So that, to me, would count. I don't know if the graphic
the time
is,
frame of the data is the Shanahan and Lynch era.
Okay. Since 2017.
Okay.
2017 to now.
All right.
And actually, the Eagles are closer to the bottom than they are to the top. But they're middle of the pack-ish. but closer to the bottom in terms of investment than they are to the top.
Okay. And I wonder, and I have to look at the graphic to get exactly what the reference is, because I'm looking here and it's Jordan Mailata, who was a seventh round pick in 2018, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Tyler Steen, all drafted by the Eagles, and 2 seconds and a third and a seventh. And so, I mean, does it mean that you have to draft high draft picks? Is that where, is it just like draft picks at all? Is it weighted based on what round?
The data that Willard's referring to is weighted by round. So a first round pick means a whole lot more than a seventh round pick.
Okay. And so that to me is, it's a good graphic. It's interesting. But at the same time, I look at Philadelphia and like Jordan Mailata, who was a seventh round pick, and he's there now 8 years later, that becomes a much more heavily weighted pick than, you know, taking a guy like, I don't know, somebody who you drafted in the first round and then you eventually traded.
Right. All right. More on this for sure, because it's Fat Tuesday. So here comes our offensive lineman to help us out. Schlereth in 5 minutes, John Feliciano in 2 hours. Grandy's grades are going to be today. That ought to be interesting. I'm giving everybody a pass. We're brought to you by Fremont
Bank.
Here for you.
No, come on.
No, probably not. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dib.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.